Wisconsin I asked legislators who decide not to seek re-election whether they want to do an exit interview. So we're glad that Republican Representative Jesse Kramer of Keewaskum, who's represented the 59th district for two terms. Thank you very much for sitting down with us.
Thank you for asking.
4 years in the assembly, long enough to have a legacy, sir?
Well, I didn't get everything done that I wanted to accomplish, but I definitely made an impact. And one of my goals when I got here was to, and I didn't even know that I was going to make it, obviously, when you're running, but to show my kids what this country's all about, what the state is all about, and what this country's all about, and how mm-hmm. our government works. Mm-hmm. And I think I've accomplished that. And I think I've shown that there you can be a legislator, a principled legislator, get things done, but still have some give and take, and remain principled. And I think I do have a little bit of a legacy. Looking at coming into office, no one expects freshmen to take on big issues, mm-hmm. tackle big stuff. I figured I'm not going to be here occupying a seat just to occupy a seat and push a red and a green button. I want to be here and make a difference while I am here. So I jumped in feet first with the pain capable abortion bill, the 20-week abortion bill.
Yes.
And we started with that, and that was one of my biggest issues, fighting for the preborn. And I think I've had a little bit of hopefully positive impact in that fight from my perspective, but did not do quite as much as I would have liked to do.
You have a fascinating history. Your bio, you said you flipped thousands of McDonald's burgers to become a pilot. Now you're leaving to become a corporate pilot.
Right.
What lessons from being a pilot did you bring to the assembly? Is it at all close? It just seems
no,
to me like two desperate, disparate
It's very different
circumstances,
right? I had a lot of different real world. I'm not that old, but I've had a lot of real world different experiences to draw from when I ran for office, and I've kind of pulled them all into Madison here and into my job as a legislator. I had the aviation background, which is from a safety perspective, safety and security and some of those issues. Actually, I've talked about even with the recent school security package around here.
Right.
I was an airline captain on 9/11. I saw exactly what happened in the airlines and in the terminals and how we reacted. And how
you
we
were in the air on 9/11?
I was actually on call on 9/11.
Okay.
I was on reserve duty. I have some friends that did see some of the planes hit, though. So I had a lot of different experiences, but when I stopped at the door of voters who would potentially send me here, I told them, hey, I'm not a politician. I'm not someone who's been in government. I have no idea even, quite frankly, what I'm doing in government, but I have a lot of real world experiences mm-hmm. To draw from. I am just like you, but I want to go there and be your voice and try and make a difference for you. And I think that resonated with people. I'm not like the rest. I'm an independent thinker who happens to have an R behind my name. But I just wanted to make a difference for the people of the district.
What did you learn about politics 4 years later after serving two terms?
It's very rewarding and very frustrating, both at the same time.
What's the best part? What's the worst part?
The best part, it is very rewarding when you finally see a bill to fruition and it finally hits the governor's desk. And we had a couple of really challenging ones. The pain-capable one was a good lesson early on how things get done. But we had campus free speech was a big one this year.
Yes.
Another thing that I really wanted to fight for was our defending our constitutional liberties and our freedoms. But industrial hemp, that's a bill that...
You were the lead sponsor.
I was.
In the assembly.
That's a bill that's been out there for probably about 15 years. It started as a Republican bill, went to a Democrat bill, came back as a Republican bill. And we finally got it done, and we did a lot of educating in the building first, and then outside of the building with the public, telling them this is not what a lot of people think it is. This is not marijuana. This is a totally different plant,
right?
Even though it falls within the same kind of category on the federal level right now, and they're changing that also. So just to see how things get through this building and how they can finally see the governor's desk is interesting. That's the positive. The negative is, there are a lot of really good bills. I mean, yes, I'm a Republican. I work with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. I have a lot of really good Democrat friends here too. But and I've taken their ideas on some of our bills. But it's very frustrating when we have Republicans controlling everything here, and we have some really good legislation.
Yes.
and it just dies. Why? I don't know. And I think a lot of it, sadly, is personalities.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be. It should not be. We should be doing what is best for the people who sent us here and ultimately for the state.
The partisanship, is that one reason that you decided to only serve two terms, sir?
No, actually not at all. As I mentioned, I got along really well with a lot of my Democrat colleagues. Surprisingly, and a lot of people find this interesting, fascinating, that I think I probably have people that respect me even more so on the Democrat side of the aisle at times than on my own side of the aisle. Not because they agree with what I'm trying to do, but because they see that I am principled and I don't back down and I stand up for what I believe in. And my constituents, when I told them why I was running and what I was running for, saw that. And I don't think it might have been a challenge, but I don't think I would have had a problem running against someone this next time around. I feel that I've had the integrity to follow through on exactly what I told the people in my district that I would do and that I did do, and I think that's what they do stand for from the part of the state that I am from. So the partisanship isn't. My background as a pilot, the longer you're out of aviation, the harder it is to get back in. Obviously, yes. That takes some skill and some regular practice.
Yes.
And people don't want to look at a pilot to hire them to fly their corporate airplane or their airliner when they've been out of aviation for 10 years. Okay. Granted, you've got the experience, but you've been out for 10 years. And as a legislator, I mean, this job could go away tomorrow. It could go away next year. It could go away the redistricting. This job isn't here forever, and I thought I might be here longer, but I thought this is the time. I had an opportunity to get back in aviation again. I think I've made a difference here, and I've made a difference in the lives of my family, my constituents, and my friends, and the state of Wisconsin, and I'm ready to move on, and I have no regrets.
So much of the debate over the last few weeks has been about guns.
Right.
You sponsored the Private School Carry Act and the Campus Carry Act. Can you talk about why you thought both of those would be good public policy, please?
Sure. I am very passionate about security in this state, and I think that's one of our primary goals in government is to make sure that the public is safe and secure. Campus carry I did early on in my first session, and we started working on, actually early on, really early on, I started working on school security, elementary and secondary education security. Bill package. They're separate issues, but they all fall under safety and security. I think that what we're doing right now in the state is we're setting ourselves up for failure. And just putting an ad on your school door that says we are a gun-free zone, a gun-free school zone, is not going to stop a maniac. It is not going to stop terrorists. It's not going to stop anyone from going to that building and shooting it up if they really want to. And that's a concern that I still have to this day. I talk about my experience as 9/11. 9/11, the federal government did a lot of good and a lot of not so good. A lot of what they did in the terminal building itself was for show. It was a show, and it still is. We federalized the TSA. We federalized our security agents. Well, they're doing the exact same thing that they could have done if they were still private agencies. We probably just needed a federal someone to oversee them all and make sure that they're all doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're all on the same page. What we really did, though, was we secured our airliners. We made sure that place where the problem was, we locked it down. We now have armed agents in the back of those planes. The general public doesn't know where they are and when they are. The pilots do. The crew does. And we have a volunteer, well-trained, armed pilot corps. And we have not had a hijacking since September 11th. And we treated, there's a lot of things that I can't go into security-wise that I know about, because I was a captain, that I just can't talk about yet, the way we look at hijackings and how we deal with them. And I think we need to look at that with our school buildings and how we take care of our kids. I mean, no one would have never considered having a pilot carrying a gun in the cockpit of their airliner when they're flying over to London. That's happening now. That's real world now. And the thing that they do is they train, they're well trained, they're trained regularly, and they're trained in just a cockpit scenario, and that's all they're trained in. And I think we could do the same thing in Wisconsin with people on our school buildings. We could allow some people to carry in there, at least allow the locals to decide how they want to take care of that. Do we want people to carry? Don't we want people to carry? How do we want to secure our kids? Why is Madison, Big Brother Madison, have to have the finger on these schools saying you can or you can't, especially some of our private and parochial schools that are on their own private grounds. They don't have the finances to put a resource, armed resource officer in a school. Let them actually decide how they want to secure their school buildings. And once you look at Ohio, after Sandy Hook, Ohio's been expanding. They implemented this program and they've been expanding it ever since, allowing personnel to carry in their schools because they get it. I don't know why we can't get it here.
What about the $100 million in grants that just passed? The governor just signed it into law yesterday. Right. Will that make Wisconsin schools safer, Representative?
Yes, it will. It will help with a one-time, possibly beefing up locks on doors or bulletproof glass. There's actual sticker-type things you can put over glass to make it bulletproof. Mm-hmm. Beefing up perhaps the monitors, PA systems, things like that. A lot of our, especially our smaller rural public school districts and parochial and private schools don't have that sort of thing right now. So yeah, yes, as a one-time shot, that's great. But that is still not going to stop someone. You don't have the deterrent there to say, hey, if you go into that building, you might be shot. We have someone that might actually take you out. And that is the threat that these people need, that any potential terrorist would need or any potential nut job would need if you know, they consider it. And Ohio has seen that. Other states have seen it too, that this is a deterrent. It's peace through strength, basically. And we're just advertising to the world, don't come here, go somewhere else.
What about that axiom, the solution to a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun? Do you subscribe to that?
I do, actually.
You
do?
Yes. So you think the $100 million in grants didn't go far enough, correct?
I don't believe so, no. I would have liked to have a larger discussion on that. I wasn't asked, but I would have liked to have a larger discussion. We actually had a sit-down at a Lutheran High School in Jackson, Wisconsin, end of 2016, I believe it was. I invited a panel. We were really trying to get this going, get the discussion going in our building here and with the governor's office. I invited a panel of law enforcement teachers. We had a U.S. concealed carry experts there, and we had parents there. Mm-hmm. And I said, I let it off. I said, hey, you know, I put this on. We had Katrina Cravey from Fox 6. She moderated the whole program. I said, I let it off with, you know, I'm putting this on, and let's go into the premise that we have just passed a law that allows you to do what you want in your school building. What are you going to do with this a year from now? And I got out of it. I didn't want to be there. I wanted them to have a discussion.
Yeah.
And it was a great discussion, and they were all for it. Even law enforcement, they wanted to really secure our schools, and this is some way that they can do it, and they can help, and they can be involved.
Okay. Last year, your faith comments and your defending your belief in creationism generated a lot of
right.
PR. But I was intrigued, a lot of news. Let me correct that. But you also said it generated threats to you and your family.
Right.
Can you talk about that? And did
sure.
did that play a role in your decision to not seek re-election?
No, it did not. It was a lot of stress on probably more so my wife than the family as a whole. We kind of keep the kids out of it. They know a little bit about what's going on. They're not stupid. They can hear what's going on. But it actually surprised me. We put out an article right after I found out that this was actually going to be a newsworthy issue, kind of blasting the media, saying we've gone from fake news to no news.
No news,
because
yes.
Why is this news? Who cares what I believe religiously? That doesn't have anything to do with any of the bills that are out there. And what I learned, and now this is going, you know, going a different direction, but from a Christian perspective, from my perspective, from my faith,
mm-hmm.
I saw how much vitriol and hate is out there. There's a lot of hate out there, and I don't understand it. I really don't. Why does it make a difference if I believe that the earth is 6,000 years old or 10 million years old? It has nothing to do with my job, but we were getting comments from Australia, from Great Britain, all around the world. I was having to monitor my social media 24/7, basically delete, block, or comment. I would carry on conversations with people. Anyone that wanted to have a legitimate conversation, mm-hmm. I had no problem carrying that conversation with them.
Were you actually afraid for your spouse and your family?
I wasn't. We did have a threat that the Capitol Police were aware of, and they took care of it. They knocked on a guy's door down in Dallas, Texas, and I think surprised him. But there is a lot of hate out there, and it just shocked me.
Was that the first time you've experienced because of your faith?
I experienced it a little bit with the pain-capable Unborn Child Protection Act, the 20-week act, but not to this extent. It was just something kind of extraordinary. And the fact that the media even latched onto it and took this as a news story to begin with.
You were surprised.
I was surprised, which is why we put out that, it was kind of a humorous article actually. We had a lot of fun with it. We were laughing about it in my office. I got off the phone with the reporter. I was laughing. I'm like, this is going to be a news story tomorrow.
The headline on your press release, liberal media shocked to discover Christians exist.
It angered a couple of Christians in the liberal media, but yes. We had fun with it. I laughed it off. I actually got, interestingly, this is kind of funny. I got a comment from the lieutenant governor. She sent me a text message that weekend, and she said, "I'm proud of you for hang in there. I'm proud of you for what you said and that you stand up for what you believe in, and don't let them get to you." And I said, "I'm not. I'm actually having kind of fun with it."
There was a bill that you follow very closely that would have banned research on fetal tissue from elective abortions.
Right.
And in August of 2015, after that public hearing, you said the realization that the ethical and moral fabric of our society has deteriorated to this point is, you finished it, sad, tragic. Are politics capable of correcting what you see as an ethical and moral failure in our fabric?
I think we can direct the way that these discussions are going.
Okay.
And there are people on my side of the aisle who want nothing to do with moral and social issues. They don't. They've told me that flat out. We don't discuss this. We don't talk about these issues. But if we don't, who will? I think there's a lot, that bill in particular really bothers me. There's a lot more we could have done here and we should be doing here. I have no problem with research with fetal body parts.
Mm-hmm.
But just as I have no problem with someone doing research on my body after I die and I decide to donate my organs. The parent can make that decision. But what happened was we have an organization out there that is farming, for lack of a better term, farming aborted baby body parts for resale to benefit me, to benefit my kids, and that's not right. It just isn't right. There are other, you can look at other countries and other leaders throughout history, throughout the last century even, that did kind of the same sort of stuff, and it scares me.
When you announced your decision to not seek re-election, I think you told a reporter that you represent the reddest district in the state, is that true?
I did. I remember making the statement, yeah.
Tell me about the 59th district.
It's a fun district. It's we have a good mix. There's a farm and there's city. It is actually, a lot of people don't know this. When I started working the industrial hemp issue, we had farmers in this building that are like, why does Jesse Kramer even care about the issue? I had a constituent that came to me who was the one that actually started leading this off.
I was going to ask you, how did you become a convert to industrial hemp?
Right. This came across my desk the first session I was here. It was way late in the session. It was a Democrat bill at the time. And I saw industrial hemp, and I'm thinking, hemp, marijuana, junk. And I threw it away. Well, I had a constituent contact me who lives in the central part of the district, which is a very rural area. And he said, this is something I want to do here, and you should really look into this. And I invited him to the office. I said, I'm open to talking to anyone about any issue, anytime. And he started telling me what this is and what the product can do. And I'm like, wow, this is fascinating stuff. This is fascinating. And we have, and now later on, looking at Foxconn and some of the other things we've brought to the state, are more in urban areas. I mean, they'll help out our rural areas too. But you've got, we've got a product that we can push now in rural areas. I mean, they have manufacturing and a lot of the industrial product that comes from hemp. Mm-hmm. We can make in our rural areas now. We can really boost that part of the state up. It's a fascinating district. It's a little more, I'd say, moderate on the northern end, real conservative on the southern end.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really strange shape. There's a lot of driving up and down, but not left to right. But it's fun because we do have very different issues going throughout. And it was a lot of fun working with all of the constituents and the voters in that district.
You mentioned Foxconn. Do you think some of the businesses in the 59th district will benefit from Foxconn?
I do.
How?
Well, I think there are For instance, I have a small business that I work on the side. I manufacture school diplomas. It's not a hobby anymore. It's starting to make some money, but it's an odd home business. And I do that every spring. Well, I went on the website the other day for Foxconn in the state of Wisconsin, the one where you can apply for and just show people what kind of product you got out there.
Right.
And I manufacture diploma covers, which can be used as certificate covers and any number of things. And put it on there. And who knows? Maybe I'll get a contract with Foxconn. I don't know. Maybe they'll want to use this for certificates of promotion. I think there is going to be a lot of opportunity for businesses in the state to partner with Foxconn and all the expansion that's going on in Southeast Wisconsin right now.
If you ran again and got reelected, what would be the first bill that you would introduce?
First bill.
One that you haven't been able to push across a goal line.
Well, I don't know where Heal Without Harm's going. That's a big one for me. Mm-hmm. And this school security is still a huge passion of mine. I don't know that I have one or the other. We push out so many different issues in this office.
Yes.
I would have to go with along the lines of those two, a pro-life bill and a school security bill.
Okay.
Putting those out. And I even told that same reporter that said that I told I have the reddest district in the state to, I told him that same thing. He asked me, what are two of the things that you wish you could have accomplished more of? And those are the two issues, school security and fighting for the preborn. But we had another interesting bill that I told another reporter upstairs. I like to tip off the reporters. I talk to the reporters all the time, and it's a good relationship. That's something I learned in this building, too, early on. It had to do with being able to reverse the abortion pill. There is science out there now that you can, if you take an abortion pill, you can reverse it in a couple days if you change your mind through chemicals and things like that, and human chemicals your body produces. And I had been waiting for the article to finally come out in the Journal of Medicine, and they had been working on this. It's a group in California. They've been doing this around the world. Doing research on this for years. They've saved a lot of lives. And I wanted to do an informed consent bill that we could put out there saying, hey, this is real science. And if you're going to an abortion clinic, they have to tell you, if you do change your mind within 72 hours or something along those lines, that there is the possibility you can reverse this. Hmm. Here's a place you can go. North Dakota got it done. I have a legislator in North Dakota I was talking to on this. They got it done up there. There's another state down south that got it done. I was just looking for more of the science and the research to actually put in our bill, but we never quite got there. We never quite got that done.
Another issue you embraced was stopping the use of public money for Milwaukee's streetcar. Why?
Hey, and streetcar rolled into town yesterday.
Yeah, so. It did. The first one.
Right. No, I have no problem with Milwaukee doing what they want to do with the streetcar. I have no problem with that at all, and I wish them the best of luck. And I even said that in the floor speech. I wish Mayor Barrett and the city of Milwaukee the best of luck with their streetcar. I just do not want, when we have a discussion going on about transportation in the state, which was a big issue this session and last session, and it'll be in the coming session.
Yes.
Transportation funding. I don't want the possibility that a streetcar in the city of Milwaukee, the cost to not only install it and build it, but to keep it running.
Mm-hmm.
Has the possibility to come back to our mass transit funding and start sucking out of our mass transit funding at the state level. I don't want people in Northwest Wisconsin in the 59th Assembly District to have to keep this thing afloat if it starts going south, especially when we have a major transportation funding issue that we're working on. That is why I fought to at least prevent the state from having to pay for it. Any more of that. I mean, we've paid into the grants, federal grants and that. The taxpayers have all paid into that already, what the streetcar has gotten. So we've all put in some money.
But you, I think you got past that no state mass transit fund money could
right.
go to operate.
It got in the budget this last time around.
Yes. You talked about the transportation funding. If right. you could wave a wand, how would you fix highway funding in the state of Wisconsin, Representative?
Wow. That is not one of... I am not the expert on that. And we're experts on some things, but not on others. And I am not a financial guru. I'm not one of those accountants in the building here.
Okay.
There are a lot. There are some bills that I did put out there, and other ones that I have talked about that I think we need to. And I told my constituents in my district this also, because gas tax was talked about. I think that we need to fix our own house here in Madison first, and that's why I was sent here to do the tough work to fix our house in Madison here, fix the DOT. Find all the efficiencies that we possibly can in-house here first before I go back to my constituents and say, hey, I need some more money. that's what I've been talking about for the last several years on this, and we've gotten some things done. Prevailing wage, that was a big one, but the Fed-State swap didn't quite get completely done. That was a big one that we were talking about, being able to swap out some state dollars and Fed dollars and make projects more efficient. But there is a lot that we can do here in Madison first before we have to go back to the taxpayers for more money.
Prevailing wage, the argument was that you're hurting unions, union members earning family-supporting wages. Right. Your response?
I was a union member. I've been a union member, a government union member. I was a police dispatcher. I've been an airline union member. I've been in the private sector. I've been in the military. Once again, I have a lot of real-world experience that I drew from. Just because you're in a union does not mean that you're not going to make a family-supporting job, family-supporting wage. I've been touting that. I've got a newsletter going out here shortly. I've been touting that in a lot of the bills that we've done. We are bringing family-supporting jobs to Wisconsin. You don't necessarily need a union to have your back on that. You can actually do this for yourself as well.
And what have you considered coming back to politics at some point?
I haven't. I've had some or now senator that you're... in particular bring that up to me. He said, hey, you're young. You can come back in 20 years again. I don't know. I'm ready to leave it behind. I think I've made my mark. I think I've shown my children what it's all about. And I think I haven't considered it. I think I'm ready to be done.
If one of your three daughters wanted to run for the assembly or senate, what advice would you give?
Have faith. The Lord directs us in mysterious ways. He decides our paths, not us. And I never in my wildest dreams thought I would have ever been here.
And then finally, what advice would you give the next representative from the 59th?
Stay principled. Don't let Madison get to you. Do exactly what you tell the constituency we're going to do. And have the integrity to follow through with that.
Representative Jesse Kramer,
thank you.
Congratulations on two terms and good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.